Would you turn with me then to the passage of scripture that we read a little bit earlier on, to Mark's Gospel. And this morning I would like us to look at this wonderful account of Jesus dealing with this man that had leprosy. As you will be aware, we find the description of these events in Mark's Gospel, in not only Mark's Gospel, but equally in Matthew's Gospel too, and indeed in Luke's Gospel. And I have to acknowledge right at the beginning that Simon has preached about the man with leprosy recently from this pulpit. But I've been encouraged by one or two to not ignore that the Lord has drawn me to this passage this morning, and obviously to declare to you something of what I believe the Lord has shown me with regards to this particular occurrence that occurred some years ago, some 2,000 years ago, there in the Middle East. I suppose the first question that arises, and it's a question that arises quite naturally to us, is what is leprosy? Well, leprosy has been known to man for many years. Given these events were recorded in the three Gospels, and they relate to Jesus dealing with this man, we can say that the disease was certainly known 2,000 years ago. In fact, we can go back a little further than that, and if we were to turn, I'm not asking you to do so, to Leviticus 13, we would find regulations about how to deal with infectious skin diseases. Although traditionally we classify those diseases as leprosy, the Hebrew word was probably used for many types of diseases that infected the skin. In fact, we can go back a little further, given reference to leprosy can be found in Exodus 4, which means the world has known about this disease for at least 4,000 years. It would appear, and I've had to look this up because I'm not a medical practitioner, that leprosy is a disease of the peripheral nervous system, as against the central nervous system, and it also affects the lining of our upper respiratory system. Lesions of the skin are a primary sign of the disease as well. If the disease is left untreated, leprosy can leave permanent damage to the skin, to the nerves, to the limbs, and to the eyes. Although our limbs cannot fall off, they can be so numbed and diseased that there is a loss of tissue, so the fingers and toes become shortened. Hence the reason for people saying that limbs have fallen off. The numbness and the disease to the toes, to the tissues of the toes and fingers and other extremities of our body, also meant that we do not feel pain or realize we've been injured in those areas, thus causing further damage to our body. From this description, we can see that this man was in a pitiable state. And in biblical times, there was not a treatment available that would bring about a cure. That said, the disease can be treated today if treatment is received early enough by the patient. Today, leprosy is known as Hansen's disease, and it's named after a Norwegian doctor called Gerhard Hansen. So what can we say about the lepers who were treated at the time of Jesus? The time that Jesus dealt with this man. And I can mention a number of matters to you. The disease was repulsive to all who saw the person. The disease was incurable by human means at the time. The disease was isolating because lepers were confined to places outside the city limits. On many occasions, the city dump, because they could find food and other things there that would help them in a pitiable life. The disease meant that not only was the person isolated from people, but the person would be cut off from religious privileges too. And the disease would cause a person to become unclean ceremonially. If you touched the leper, that's if you didn't catch the disease as well. Furthermore, the individuals with leprosy had to wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, and cover the lower part of their faces and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." They were outcasts of society and could only become members again by going to the priest for their skin to be inspected, to offer a sacrifice, and to be pronounced clean before they were able to re-enter society. As Aaron described Miriam in his cries to Moses for her, "Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." But there is more to it than the matters that I've just mentioned. Why do I say that? Well, do we not use the term leper to describe or portray someone as unlovable, untouchable, even dirty, perhaps even dangerous, certainly sinful? Today, given the stigma that's attached to the term leper, those with the disease of leprosy ask to be not called a leper, but somebody who is suffering from that disease. "I'm suffering from leprosy. Don't call me a leper." So we can just imagine the scene when this man with leprosy comes into a large crowd, which is described for us in Matthew's version of these events. What a stir he would have created, given he should have not been there because of the command to live in isolation. But you could rightly raise the question, why are you dealing or telling us about leprosy at a service on a Sunday morning? Is it because I'm developing some sort of case for you to give to the leprosy mission or some other cause like it? Well, that's not my intention, but equally I'm not going to stop you doing that. My reason for doing this is to ask another question. Is there a disease like leprosy that is within us all? Do we possess a disease like leprosy? Is there a parallel with our text? Well, I think there is. And the disease has come to be known by the writers as the plague of sin. And the plague of sin, like leprosy, is deep-seated because it's repulsive to God, it is incurable by human means, and we're isolated from God and cut off from the special privileges of the children of God. As the scripture describes our condition, we are those alienated from God. So this condition of the plague of sin means that we, by nature, are loathsome, unfit for the company of God, unfit for the glory of heaven, a disease that's dragging us down to our death, and worst of all, we're all like it by nature. No person is exempt. Do we know this is our condition, naturally speaking? Do we recognize our own sinfulness, guilt, and corruption? Education and social restraint play their part in our lives, but the plague of sin, this moral disease, still remains. Have I realized my condition by nature? If you have seen your need, then you're one step closer to a cure, because so many people do not recognize they are sinners and do not see their great need of the physician of their soul who can heal this disease called the plague of sin. So does this portion of scripture teach us or help us in any way? Well, I believe it does teach us or help us with this particular condition of the plague of sin that we have. And it does so in the following ways. It tells us about the cry the man with leprosy made. It also tells us that he came to Jesus believing he could cure him. And it also tells us what the reaction of Jesus Christ was, in that he was filled with compassion. He answered the man's cry. He touched him and he healed. We can say from those words what power Christ must have in order to react in that way to this individual. So let's just consider for a moment or two the man's cry. Under this heading of the man's cry, I want to point out to you a number of matters. And the first is this: he came to Christ. Now that would seem a too obvious point to make, doesn't it? The man with leprosy came to Jesus. Not only did the man know he wanted to be rid of the disease, but he wanted to be clean. He wanted to be reconciled with the people in his society and to the religious benefits that he previously enjoyed. But he was willing to do something about it, and he turned to Jesus to help him. You might say that that's obvious. And in fact, it is obvious. But how many people, knowing they have a life-threatening disease, are willing to do anything about it? And there are people in this society that react in these ways. You've only got to ask people as to whether or not they would go to a doctor for his help or her help when they discover they have a life-threatening disease to realize many people put their head in the sand and they don't wish to go. Perhaps they try to forget about it or say that if that means I've got to have an operation and come under the surgeon's knife, then I'm not seeking the physician's help. So if somebody tells you that you have a disease called the plague of sin, that is repulsive to God, that is life-threatening, and that's incurable unless you come to his son Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? That's a question that naturally arises. Many people take no action. They take no action at all. And this plague of sin keeps them in a state of loathsomeness, unfit for the company of God, unfit for the glory of heaven, and eventually the disease drags them down to an eternal death. How about you, if you're not a Christian here this morning? If you recognize that there are attitudes and conduct in your life that however hard you try and cannot do anything about, are you going to just forget about it, or are you going to seek the help of a person who can cure the problem? For your problem is called a plague of sin. That's the disease you have, which only can be healed by Jesus Christ. So as the leper came to Christ with his leprosy, so must we come to Christ with our plague of sin. So he came to Christ. That's my first point. But he came humbly, he came believingly, and he came urgently. Why do I say that? Well, the text tells us, for we are told he came and begged him on his knees. This man's demeanor says so much to us, you know. By begging on his knees to Jesus, the leper shows his humility. He shows his humility by wanting to defer and submit to Jesus. His humility is shown by wanting Jesus to show mercy to him. His humility is demonstrated by an acceptance that he did not have the means of curing himself. So he made his earnest appeal. He cried humbly to Jesus. Do we appreciate that a humble spirit is so important in coming to Jesus Christ, even as Christian men and women? A humble spirit, a humble demeanor is really the first requisite. It is the first attitude of mind and heart in coming to Jesus Christ. The leper has this disease called leprosy. We have a similar problem in a disease that's called the plague of sin. And the only person who can cure us of the disease is Jesus Christ, who is God. And because Jesus Christ is God, we need to come before him humbly as the leper did. If you wish God to act for you, then go to him humbly, as the scripture records. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit. So, the leper came to Jesus. He came in humility, but he came believingly. Why do I say that? Well, the letter did not say, "Can you make me clean?" He said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He believed Jesus had the power and the ability to heal him. It was a question of whether or not he was willing to heal him. Now, we do not know how the leper had come to understand that Jesus was capable of making him clean. Perhaps he had heard, or perhaps he had seen Jesus answer the requests of others. Perhaps being a Jew, his knowledge of the power of God had affected his decision to come. Whatever or whoever had brought this leper to this knowledge, the leper nevertheless saw in Jesus someone who could heal and deal with his condition. Someone who could restore him to society, the society that had rejected him, and indeed restore his religious privileges to him, as a Jew knew so well. Do you believe that Jesus can do that for you if you're not a Christian here this morning? Do you believe by asking Jesus your plague of sin can be cured? You can be restored. You can be made clean. Let us remember that the scripture tells us that Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." But the man also came to the leper also came to Jesus, not only believingly, but he also came urgently too. Well, why do I say that? Well, it's not expressly mentioned in our text, but for the leper to come into a crowd who would find him repulsive to them, after being commanded to be in isolation from society, perhaps for many years, and not first going to the priest for inspection, the leper must have thought his need for a cure was urgent. Have you come to understand your disease of the plague of sin, which is repulsive to God, isolates you from him, and has no human cure, is in urgent need of healing? Do you so desire to be free from your disease of the plague of sin that you will take urgent action like the leper to go to Jesus, notwithstanding what might be said by relatives, by friends, by neighbours, perhaps even work colleagues? The scripture reminds us of the urgency of the need to cure the plague of sin by stating, and I'm going to quote from the New King James Version, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's the urgency of the need. So are you willing to make such an appeal in a similar way to Jesus as the leper did, if you are not a Christian here this morning? Do you wish your disease of the plague of sin to be cured? Then call upon Jesus, given the scripture says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you do call, and you do so believing, then you will be cured of the disease of the plague of sin, so that you are no longer loathsome, unfit for the company of God, and unfit for the glory of heaven. But call in the way the leper called. He wanted his leprosy cured, so he called. And as one writer, Fred Mitchell, has described the leper's call, he did not use any polished expression or orderly arrangement. The need is great, the matter is urgent, and a short, sharp cry most naturally and poignantly expresses the heart. So we've looked at the leper. Let us consider for a while the compassion of Jesus Christ. The scripture says Jesus was filled with compassion. Now, compassion is demonstrating our feelings for others in their condition or in their circumstances. It expresses the emotion of the soul. It is a yearning of the most inward nature with pity and sympathy for somebody. The writer of the book of Friends of Jesus said this: "True compassion reaches even to the lowest level. Compassion is always necessary when working with people, because we all fail." The writer then goes on to say this: "It is our natural inclination, and the easiest inclination, to move towards contempt of the down and out. When we don't have compassion, it's because we usually think we're better than others." But not so with Jesus. Jesus did not demonstrate such a spirit, notwithstanding he is far better than sinful man, because he is the perfect, spotless, holy God. In fact, the scriptures mention many times how compassionate Jesus is. For in the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded that Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless without a shepherd. In the account of the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' compassion is such that the scripture records, Jesus wept. Jesus shows the same compassion here to the leper. Jesus' heart was being drawn out to him. His inner affection, his sympathy, the pity filled his soul for this dying man if he did not receive a cure from his leprosy. But if we do not know Jesus, he sees us as dying from the plague of sin, which keeps us in misery unless we come to him for a cure. But Jesus' compassion is the same as it was to the multitude. It is the same as it was to the leper, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, his heart goes out to us. This inner affection of Christ, this sympathy and pity is ready to be shown. So Jesus' compassion goes out to us if we still have our plague of sin, as it did to this man with leprosy. But I don't want to just refer to Jesus' compassion. I want to refer to Jesus' touch. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. His action was no mean thing, because to touch a leprous person meant that you became unclean yourself. So what's going on here? Does Jesus become unclean? If I was to say to you that a doctor or a surgeon who puts on a gown and gloves after scrubbing up, does he, when he touches the patient, make the patient sterile? Well, he obviously doesn't. She obviously doesn't. The only way you can touch someone and something does not become unclean yourself is if you make that person clean. And that is what Jesus did to the leper. He made him clean. And he did so because Jesus is God. We get further support from what I'm saying from Mark 5 and verses 29 and 30. The scripture describes a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years and touched Jesus' garment. And subsequently, the scripture records for us, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him, or gone from him. Jesus, the Son of God, in all his purity, is ready to touch people with diseases and in doing so heal them. Therefore, is he not going to be ready to touch somebody with this plague of sin so that they can be healed? Yes, he is. So are you ready to ask Jesus' touch in your life? Because he is ready to stoop down, to touch, to heal you from your plague of sin. The majority of people here this morning have been convinced of Jesus' readiness to touch them in their great need and have been healed of their plague of sin. And if you do not know that, they will certainly be willing to tell you and point you to Jesus Christ. I ask you again, what of you? Have you been cured of your plague of sin? Do you want Jesus to touch your life and cure you? But let me just refer to Jesus' answer. We have reminded ourselves from the text of Jesus' compassion. We've reminded ourselves of Jesus' touch. But how did Jesus answer the leper? He said, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." Jesus is a compassionate person. He is ready and willing to stoop to your need and answer your cry. For he is a person who does not turn anybody away, who comes to him in the manner and the way the leper did. Do you realize there are many "I wills" or "I am willing" in the scriptures? Here are just a few. There is the "I will" or the word "willing" in these verses. There is the "I will raise him up in the last day." There is the "I will lay down my life for you." There is the "I will come back and take you to be with me." Jesus cannot lie. It's not in his character. So when he says, "I will," "I am willing," he does what he promises to do, because he has the power and the authority to do it. So notwithstanding what your plague of sin is, Jesus is willing and ready to say, "Be clean." Joseph Hart, the hymn writer, sums up what I'm trying to say in a few words as follows. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, join with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. But do remember this. If any person is not clean from their plague of sin, if any person is not saved, it's not through any lack on Jesus' part. Because the scripture tells us he's not willing that any should perish. The problem rests with the person with the plague of sin. They're not willing to come. Finally, Jesus heals by saying, "Be clean." Jesus' healing is a healing that is complete and fully cures, because he sent the leper to the priest and told the leper to offer sacrifices that Moses had commanded for his cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus could do that, as J.C. Ryle points out. No disease is so deep-seated that Jesus is not able to cure it. No plague of sin is so virulent that Jesus cannot heal it. Just imagine the change. The day started with this man having an incurable, repulsive, and isolating disease, and ended with this man being utterly clean and restored by Jesus. And by sending this man to the priest and taking two birds as an offering, one bird the penalty was paid in a death for the leper, and another bird the pollution was carried away to an unknown land. So this man was made ceremoniously clean and was restored to society. But as J.C. Ryle goes on to say, there is no spiritual leprosy too hard for Jesus. So we can say that as two birds were a sacrificial offering, so Jesus was the sacrificial offering for the plague of sin. Jesus died and paid the penalty for our plague of sin, and the pollution of it was cast behind Jesus and carried to an unknown place as far as the east is from the west. As the leper became ceremonially clean and was restored to society, so we can be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and restored to God to receive the special privileges of his children. These words, "be clean," are wonderful words, aren't they? If I might use this example, poor example that it is, if we've been doing something physical and are all hot and sticky, and perhaps mud covered from work in the garden or on the allotment, it's wonderful to wash it all off, to be clean of all the dirt, isn't it? To have a bath or a shower and then feel clean. Do we not all want to be clean? Do we not all want to be rid of wrong thoughts, the wrong attitudes of heart, the wrong words, anger, jealousy, malice? We want to be free of all those things, clean of all those things. We want to be clear of ill-treating our bodies and our minds, don't we? For the Christian here this morning, that's the prospect in glory. You'll be clean, utterly clean, from all those things. They won't even come into your mind. Such is the cleanness. Such is your restoration. And God is about doing that work, even here today amongst Christian men and women. But if you don't know the Lord, do you want to be clean? Do you want to be free from whatever your problem is? Then you have to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember, he has said, "I am willing." So how do I conclude? Spurgeon, the well-known Baptist minister in the 1800s, says of Jesus in respect of these events, "He loves, he looks, he touches us, and we live." Are we going to follow the actions of the leper and have our plague of sin cured if we're not Christians here this morning? But if you are a Christian, are you not going to thank God for the day or the period of time in your life that you came to see your need, and in fact he made you clean like the leper? And as a consequence of that memory coming back, that you can give praise and thanks to God again for the fact that he showed compassion to you. He touched you. He answered your cry. He healed you. And he made you clean. Amen.